Okay, we're at 2 minutes past, so we will kick off the webinar. So thanks everyone for joining, and we will jump straight in. So just to let you know who today's speakers are, so there's myself, Brian Martin. I'm Director of Product Management at Integrity 360, and I lead the develop and ongoing management of Integrity 360's portfolio of services and solutions. Also joined speaking on the webinar is Michael Caruso, who is a experienced ethical hacker with over a decade of hands-on experience in offensive security, PCI, DSS, CPP compliance, and cyber risk management. Michael is the practice manager of cybersecurity testing at Integrity 360, and he leads the technical teams and strategic initiatives across red teaming, penetration testing, and all aspects of cybersecurity testing. His expertise spans system architecture, SOC operations, and secure software development. And Michael also is actively involved with and contributes to bug bounty programs and explores emerging threats and technologies. So thank you for joining. And just to let you know what we're going to cover today, we're going to give a background, an introduction to threat-led penetration testing, talk about DORA and the different types of frameworks that are out there. So I'll do that introduction section, and then Michael, who's the true expert, will jump into the different variants of threat-led penetration testing and the technical implementation side of things, and also do a little bit of a comparison between regular or traditional penetration testing versus threat-led penetration testing. And hopefully we'll leave you with some key takeaways and recommendations that you can take back into your own businesses. As always, there is a Q&A. So down the bottom of your screen, you should see a Q&A button where you can submit questions, and we will, we encourage anyone who, if you have a question, please pop it in into the Q&A section, and we'll address them at the end of the webinar. So, starting with an introduction and background to TLPT, of course, there's no good webinar is complete without a poll question. So Lisa, if you can just pop up the first poll, which is just to get a sense from the audience as how familiar are you with thread-led penetration testing? Very familiar, as in you understand it and you potentially even using it already, or you're somewhat familiar but you haven't actually used it yet, or you're not familiar at all. So if you could pop in your answer to that question over the next 30 seconds or so, and then we'll take a look at the results in a short while. So a bit about, just more generally to set the background, why even do cybersecurity testing at all? I think we all know this intuitively, but I always think it's good to start just to recap why we're doing this stuff. We all know that vulnerabilities, CVEs are increasing every year by significant quantities, newly published CVEs appearing every year. And we actually had a bumper year, if that's the right term. It's probably not the right term. In 2024, we had a 38% increase in newly published CVEs up, and we went over 40,000 new CVEs published throughout 2024. So that's a huge additional level of exposure that we need to think about when we're running our infrastructure that runs our businesses. We've also got to deal with the fact that there's an ever-expanding attack surface. So no longer is everything neatly contained within a network perimeter, and you just need to make sure your perimeter is locked down. Yes, we do have, on-prem private clouds, devices, and servers. But we also have cloud, web, cloud infrastructure as a service, web, SaaS applications, structured and unstructured data, mobile, and of course, our workers now working from anywhere, accessing resources and applications from everywhere. And that represents a massively increased expanding attack surface. So, regularly testing your exposure and your vulnerability to exploitation by bad actors is critical for security. And no wonder then it's mandated by pretty much all of the standards and frameworks in operation, whether it's ISO 27000, PCI DSS, the NIST framework, CIS Control, Cyber Essentials, DORA, HIPAA, and so on and so forth. You'll all find the same similar requirements in these standards and frameworks. So before I jump into the next slide, talking a little bit about threat-led penetration testing, just want to take a quick look at the poll results. So just give me one moment. They just came in there. So what I can see here is that 35% not familiar. This is completely new. Somewhat familiar, 47%. So majority in that middle ground, and then very familiar, about 18%. So interesting spectrum there, right from the we're using it right down to it's all completely new. Okay, so just moving back then to presentation, just a little bit of history and background. Threat-led penetration testing has been around a long time and that concept. However, in terms of formalization into standards and frameworks, you kind of go back to 2014 when the Bank of England issued their CBEST framework, their Critical National Infrastructure Banking Supervision and Evaluation Testing Framework, which they published in 2014 to conduct intelligence-led security testing within the UK financial sector. So the financial sector very much in the vanguard in terms of applying threat-led penetration testing within their industry. Then in 2016, in the Netherlands, the Dutch bank, the Nederlandsche Bank, developed the TIBER framework to simulate cyber attacks in a controlled manner and to test and help improve the financial institution's response capabilities. And TIBER stands for threat-based ethical red teaming. So even though we call it threat-led penetration testing, it is actually what we commonly also think of as red teaming. And that much more deeper intelligence-led real-life simulation of threat actor activity pioneered by the Bank of England and by the Netherlands. Then in 2018, the European Central Bank developed and published the TIBER EU framework to provide a common approach for testing cyber resilience of the financial sector. And it was developed jointly by the ECB in conjunction with the EU national central banks as well. So again, as you see, the early pace setters here, all the financial, the kind of the regulatory bodies and the major financial, governmental financial institutions. And even though, if you look at TIBER EU, even though it was designed by the ECB in conjunction with the central banks of the individual nation states, they very much state that it is designed to be sector agnostic. So don't think, oh, well, this is only for finance, so I can drop off the call. It's definitely not the case, and it has much wider applicability. Then what we saw then between 2018 and up to even recent years is that it got adopted across the EU by individual countries who then published their own national frameworks in line with TIBER EU. So you had TIBER DE for Germany and TIBER LU for Luxembourg and so on. Because each in the original version of TIBER EU, each individual nation state authority had to publish their own, I suppose, guidance on it and the utilization of it within their own country. Now, as it turns out, with the more recent launch of the updated TIBER EU framework, which happened this year, it's now the case that each individual country doesn't have to have their own version of it. They can actually just use the centralized one with a little bit of guidance. Then in 2023, we had DORA. So this was EU regulation entering into force, focus on digital operational resilience of the financial sector. And we'll talk a little bit more about DORA later on. But threat-led penetration testing is included as one of the requirements within DORA now, hence the relationship. So it's not the only thing. There are actually six areas within DORA, one of which is threat led penetration testing, but very much then brought into force with DORA. And then at the beginning of this year, on January 17th, 2025, DORA became mandatorily applicable to financial entities under the regulation at that point, even though it had been actually published and introduced in 2023 and became mandatory at the beginning of this year. And we saw then in February that TiberEU updated its standard, and one of the things that it did was full alignment with DORA, so that by conducting TiberEU, you are aligning with the requirements of DORA as well. So what is threat-led penetration testing? So in order just to summarize it, again, there's different documents going back through that history defining what it is. I've just taken what is stated in the DORA regulation, which is it is that it's a framework that mimics the tactics, techniques, and procedures of real-life threat actors perceived as posing a genuine cyber threat. It's a controlled, bespoke, intelligence-led red team test of the financial entity, financial in brackets, because as I said, DORA applies to financial entities and other associated ICT providers. However, the threat-led penetration testing, as I said, can be used for any sector. And it's particularly focusing on the entity's critical live production systems. If you look at TiberEU, which is fully aligned with DORA requirements, there are three main phases. There's a preparation phase called engagement and scoping. And then there's a very definitive threat intelligence services procurement, i.e., that sourcing threat, targeted threat intelligence very much focused on the entity or entities that are under test. And that's a distinct stage. Okay, so it's not mixed in with the testing phase. There's a threat intelligence phase, and then there's a testing phase, which is separated from that preparation phase. And then the testing phase then goes deeper into the threat intelligence and then does further investigation of threat intelligence and other exploitable entities within the environment of the target entity and conducts the red teaming exercise against it. And then finally, there's a closure phase where the findings are shared and there's remediation planning is executed as well. So what are the benefits of threat-led penetration testing? Well, it's really done to assess the organization's resilience against realistic and sophisticated cyber attacks. So it's really going that bit further than just maybe looking superficially at generalized threats that are in the environment, not just catering for drive-by attacks, if you like, somebody looking for low-hanging fruit and easy targets, but really helping to identify vulnerabilities and exposures, as we know today, to improve their defenses. So the real key to it is simulating real-world threat actors and attack scenarios that are particularly relevant for the targeted entity, and therefore providing a more accurate view of potential weaknesses and therefore your security posture against those types of threats. So it simulates the real-world attacks, identifies critical functions and procedures within the entity that could be targeted, and tests those. It will ultimately enhance your cybersecurity resilience because you'll be much more aware of these exposures that can therefore be addressed prior to being attacked. Obviously, it supports compliance. So yes, a lot of the compliance now is mandated for some entities, but it's not just a compliance play, but it's definitely one of the factors that is driving organizations to take it more seriously. It also helps you prioritize effectively because you can actually see which are the key threats that are really material to you because they are based on real threat actors acting in the environment. It'll help your risk management. And there's a lot of educational part to this as well and collaboration that happens towards the end of the testing process to engage with the defender side of the equation and the blue teams in order to understand how defenses had been bypassed and how they could be improved in the future, and also help refine incident response processes, maybe things that didn't work as they should during the test phase that need to be improved for the future. Then just quickly, as I said, on DORA. So DORA now contains mandatory requirements for digital operator resilience testing. So in the top right-hand corner of the six items in the grey box. So it's an EU regulation, again, focusing on digital operation resilience of the financial sector. It aims to ensure that financial institutions can withstand and respond from information and communications technology. It's directly applicable to all EU member states since January. And as you can see there, pretty much all types of financial entities are impacted, but also ICT third-party service providers, cloud computing providers, software providers, data center providers, cybersecurity firms, IT consulting and service providers, all are fall within the remit and scope of DORA as well. So as well as the threat-led penetration testing mandatory requirement, you've also got risk management, third-party risk management, incident reporting, information sharing across the sector, and then oversight of critical ICT third-party providers as well. So I won't go into all the details of comparing, like DORA TLPT isn't really a framework. It's more a requirement and a set of requirements for threat-led penetration testing within DORA. And as I mentioned, TiberEU is now fully aligned with the requirements of DORA. If you think about the historic origins of both of these, TiberEU was typically more focusing on systemic resilience within the financial sector, looking across a wide range of interconnected systems and institutions and critical infrastructure. And it originated from the European Central Bank and so on. Whereas DORA is about the resilience of individual financial entities, focusing on the critical systems, applications, and functions of a single entity, and is mandated by DORA for critical entities at least once every 3 years. And some of those have to be from third-party providers as well. So, with that introduction, I'll now hand over to Michael Caruso, who's going to start jumping into more technical detail of the implementation side of threat-led penetration testing. Over to you, Michael.
Thanks, Brian, and hi all. Good afternoon. And before we dive into the technical part of the LPT, I just want to also continue the Brian discussion with some details. I believe that for everyone, it to be clear that when we talk about the LPT, we are not talking about pen testing. First of all, there are a lot of differences between it. And the main part of it is that also it is not TLPT activities or DORA is not applicable at the same way, in the same way for all the different markets or all the different entities. And what makes the main difference, as also Brian mentioned, is the threat intelligence. So also country per country, region per region, city per city, and nation per nation, it's really important to understand what is the different, what are the different threats, but also what are the available information that we can use, you know, to make this TLPT more tailored for the environment we are going to attack. Brian, next slide, please. So we can go to the technical part and the drama here, because for DORA, I receive a lot of questions every day and from customers that ask me, but Michael, what is the difference, you know, between DORA and pen testing, or why I need to do DORA, and what is the main, you know, differences between it? Because someone said to me I need to do the pen testing, someone need to say to me that I need to do the reteaming, but what it is the real difference? So there are several articles and there are a lot of in DORA, but the one we are going to focus on are the article 23 and 24, 25, 26. The 23 explicitly say that every company that need to comply with DORA need to do an annual pen testing, and not only, but continue to do the classic, let's say, activities like vulnerability scan every quarter or every 6 months, segmentation test, testing, fixing all the vulnerabilities. So everything that I believe every company now knows, because in 2025, I believe that everyone now do yearly pen testing and daily check on the vulnerabilities that they need to fix, or what is the best a way to mitigate them. But as you can see also, it's different the testing scope, because while in on the penetration testing we focus on let's say the web application, the server, the technology, on the and we try to also cover a wide part of the environment, if not all, starting from automated scan to try to scan every possible port, every possible machine. On DORA, we focus more on the business critical business targets. So what I mean with the critical targets, I mean, if tomorrow, I don't know, imagine you are a big bank and all your business is based on transaction, and tomorrow me and my team can hack all your electronic device, all the POS can be unusable for 3 days. In this way, your business will have a probably a huge impact. First of all, about money, so you will not be able to perform payments. So all the money in transaction, commission, everything will be impossible, to achieve. And imagine, for big banks or worldwide banks, the impact on the revenue on this. But imagine also the reputation or different other impact it may have. And this is not, only problem of let's say the critical asset, but it's also how you react, the timing of reaction. So it's a big difference if you have the POS terminal down for 1 day or 4 hours or 1 week. So this is already only just looking at the first three things, you can already see a big huge difference, a huge difference between pen testing and what is the focus of DORA into the specific of TLPT. But they are complementary, so pen testing does not replace the TLPT or the chance to do a TLPT activity. But for DORA, what DORA says is, if you are a non-critical entity, and we will decide, or the NCA will decide if you are a critical entity or not, and NCA is the national authority that, for example, can be the Central Bank of Ireland, the Bank of Italy in Italy, or the Bank of Spain, Central Bank of Spain. These are the national authority that will contact the main critical national institute, banks, financial investment, or big companies that move the business of the nation, and target them as critical. And when you are also part of this group, you need also to do once every 3 year a TLPT activity. Why? Why? Because the real attack, as we said, are not on the TLPT, are based on real threats, and it includes threat intelligence, so the study of the threat that may attack, may impact your business. And from that point of view, I believe that threat intelligence, although we are not going to dive into it, because we are going to focus more on the next step, so the hacking side, the writing part of it, but it's a key role in DORA and all the TLPT activities, because it's also the difference from a classic red team and a TLPT. Threat intelligence, as I said, require different skills, require time also to be performed in a proper way, and data. And what is the usage of a report of TI? When it goes to the hands of a red team, it allows the red team to check what are the main threat actors, the ATP, what are the main technique, tactics, and procedure used by real hackers, real scenarios attacked already happen or that may happen in a short future, and try to understand how to tailor this for the environment we are going to test. They are going to test. Why? Because, as I said at the start of this deep dive into the technical part, the key is also that PT and it may be applicable to everyone. We do all the scan, we do all the PT, classic web, infra, cloud, whatever it is. But on DORA, on TLPT, TiberU, or all the, let's say, TLPT-based activities, it is important to focus also on the real scenarios. So I understand make it tailored for the environment we are going to face. Why? Because if we apply, I don't know, an attack of a SQL injection against a server that does not have a SQL injection, you know, it's probably ineffective. A SQL server is probably ineffective. So it is the same for TLPT. We need to focus on the critical assets that we said, critical function, critical assets that may shut down a business and create a long or the longest critical problem that we can, you know, apply to this environment, and also try to be realistic. So we need to try to be and to use real attacks that happen in the world, and not to be only a classic, I test the server or I test the Active Directory, that's it, that's finished. No. And another point is that DORA, you know, in his name, there is a word that is resilience. So resilience is a very strong word in DORA, I believe, because it's also, you know, what I think every time I think about the word DORA and the resilience is SOC, CM, monitoring, alerting, ADR. So everything that try to be resilient and to try to resist at every day, every month, every year to new attacks, and need to be continuous, need to be resilient. Otherwise, the attacker will have always the best impact on the environment and the best, let's say, chance to do and to succeed in the attack. So what I believe here is that also we cannot, you know, test also the duration of the test cannot be the same of the pen tester. So I heard about customer asking, can we reduce, you know, to 1 week, 2 weeks? And this is not possible. This is not possible because, first of all, of the regulation, but also because require more time to do everything that I explained, you know, the preparation of the TI, the teaming, the preparing the scenarios, and choosing with the, you know, thinking, and also, as we say, tailoring the TTPs on the business, based also on the critical function. So it required minimum 2 weeks. It's if we read, you know, the manual, and we want to try to be, you know, linked to it, yes, we need at least 12 weeks. But in reality, the thinking is that it's not a 12-week, 11-week, 13-week. It's like to do and to choose the best scenarios that satisfy the NCA, the auditor, or the TCT in case of TiberU, and make sure that with those scenarios, you will be able to be resilient, for at least the next 3 years. So this is important that obviously it's clear for everyone. And I believe also the importance of DORA here and the TLPT activities is also to make sure that what we test is not only the environment, but it's also the procedure and the process, but also the response of the SOC, the alerting, the tuning of the EDR, antivirus, or segmentation when we do lateral movement attacks. So the last point for both is probably, you know, obvious, and it's a reporting, but the way that we report in pen testing and in a TLPT activity, or in specific Cordora or TabRU, when we do this kind of activity, it's important to gather as much information we can and transform it in the best evidence with the most detail that satisfy the authority that is going to read that report. In the penetration testing, there are different, you know, methodologies. We can write the CVSS, we can write, you know, in different way, we can write in more superficial, less superficial, all, you know, but it need to be important to understand the vulnerabilities. Sometimes it's only, you know, I found a critical vulnerability because you never update this tool, finish. So the solution, update the tool. In the TLPT DORA, the work around the report, it's very important. So it goes more than the penetration testing. It goes into the detail of what may be the impact of the business, what may be the a future, you know, resolution of this that will never happen again, because maybe a lack of procedure, maybe a tuning that was not done very well. And this one does not fix only one vulnerability, like in case of the update, you know, of the software. This make you, you know, have a better, you know, also learning lesson, you know, a learning lesson, and to try to be more resilient for the future. So this is a big difference. This is an important part. That's why I try to focus more on this, because it's important to understand the difference and what are the benefits of both testing. But remember, again, pen testing and TLPT are complementary. TLPT does not replace penetration testing. That is something continuous, is more a governance, is more a continuous, speaks of the environment. The other is for resilience. Okay. Brian, please, next slide. So what are the scenarios I was talking about? We have a lot of in right now. So I try to focus on the, let's say, most use. I was able also to find around internet, and also most use, you know, from our side. And I believe, you know, the classic is the spear phishing. Now that is going to HR or is going to someone else, it's the spear phishing. So everything starts with an email. And an email, and say, okay, I have the anti-spam, I have everything that works, my employee have awareness, they are not going to click, but when that will happen, and what happened? Are you ready to, with the procedure, to be also fast in fixing this, in containing the issue when it will happen? Why? Because it may happen that from that email, in just 4 hours that didn't recognize, didn't detect the issue, it will spread so fast internally, and may lead to a database exfiltration or file information data exfiltration. And, you know, the consequences are very huge, because, you know, we go also to GDPR, data privacy, or any other, you know, also reputation, and we come always to the same issues. So what is the objective of TLPT here, for example? To simulate the same scenario that will help you to be prepared for this one. So, and understand also the time of response of your team. So this will help you to understand a lot of things. I can do another very quick example about the web portal, because a lot of online banking, especially, you know, you can register, there are no restrictions, you are a new customer, you can put all the data, and then from it, you can do a lot of things. There are how many times you read on the newspaper about different type of breaches and everything that can be breached from outside, from a web application. So a lot of time. And when it's happened, it's also important to have a proper segmentation and validation of the external perimeter, because otherwise it will flow into other different problem, like I can see steal money from another bank account, I can do other attacks, like I can empty the bank account of everyone or someone that is very important and try to generate issues to that bank. So everything that we are going to do here, every scenarios that you are reading here, already happened. So it's something that already happened in the world. And if it was real or was a simulation, it's something that worked. So the main mistake or the biggest mistake that everyone can do is to think it will never happen to me. It will never happen to us. It will never happen to my company. And when you think about this, you know, it's when, you know, although you have all the protection, you have everything continues to be under, you know, risk, because it's important always to think and to, as we say, to mutate, because tomorrow it's not just phishing. Spear phishing will be, I don't know, the fake, or will be vishing, or will be another things. But if you have a procedure, you already test on your skin, on your company, on your employees, what means, you know, react to a kind of incident like that, you will be prepared. It will be different, you know, because you will be already familiar with what is going to happen, you know, although the attack is light different. And this help you because it's an exercise that make you stronger. So differently from the pen testing, as you can, you know, probably learning during this workshop, you can understand, you know, this is another level of testing. It's more advanced testing, but can apply to every business, also the smallest. Obviously, we need to talk also about the applicability. So maybe you know, that in a small business you may have one critical function and only one. And in order you can have, you may have 10. But anyway, you will have always a critical function to take care. It's like, you know, the diamond on a crown, you know, that you have in a museum. You need to do the best you can to protect it. You know, it's your key business for that museum, the key attraction, you know, and you need to be sure that you have all the protection to make sure nobody can touch it, neither see it, if you don't want them to look at it. So I am not going to go to all the other, but as you can see, it's really, really wide. So also from mobile, it's very, you know, populating, very popular, sorry, and it's going to be you know, the QR code phishing attack is going to be more used now, you know, these days, than some years ago, where now everything is on, you know, QR code on the menu or in the register here, register there, and it's really, you know, a potential danger, you know, to do this. But you can trust our QR code, so do not worry about it. Brian, can you please go to the next one? Okay, so we talk about critical functions, but we also need to understand and try to map what is, you know, critical, what is a critical asset. So we may have a lot, so I'm not going to go in each of this one, but I want to do some example. So let's say that we implement a multi-factor service. So we feel secure. I have multi-factor. Nobody's going to do anything here. But I implemented in without knowledge, without testing, without having a test on it. And this may lead, to a lot of different issue because just what usually happened to us is that a customer come and say, okay, let's test this multi-factor. I'm sure it's going to work. Then you just skip the request or skip the change some parameters when you intercept a request, and then poof, your multi-factor authentication, it's bypass in just one click or two click, no more. So this is important to test. And what you do with this? You do this obviously with penetration testing exercise. But when it's applicable to TLPT, what is the difference of attacking the multi-factor for TLPT? The classic attack, or the most used, I believe, it is that I probably it's very secure because you perform the PT, we said. So it's secure, you fix everything, and now nobody can bypass it easily, or in a software way, say, using hacking, software hacking. Okay. So we go and we use social engineering, spear phishing, classic email, and I send a link to one of your employee with your portal, your credential. And say good luck, good luck, congratulations, you won. I don't know, a beautiful ticket for to come to Rome and visit us. Perfect, it's free. And now just put your credential here to redeem the voucher and the ticket train or airplane, whatever. The employee is happy, so we also exploit the happiness of this person, and we go to ask him to input all the details. He put the password, he put the account, and then multi-factor. He also put the multi-factor, but he put in a fake website. But I have it, and I can log in the real one. So this is, the difference of the TLPT, and the penetration test apply. Something is more on the technology, the other is more on the, let's say, not only the person, because it's not only the awareness, it's also the way, the vector of the attack, the real scenario. It's a real scenario. So we are applying a real scenario. And this happened, with all the other things. Also happened, and I do the last example on the logging and detection, because we also talk about, the SOC, CM, and alarms, monitoring, and everything. So what happened? A lot of times there are syslog, server that say I put everything, I send my logs everywhere. I receive all the logs. I just spread 1,000 giga of logs in my CM. I input some classic rules for everything, but I never tuned it because it's everything there. The guys are looking at the screen, perfect. But if you don't do, although you had the best and CM in the world, SOC in the world, analyst in the world, if you don't have and you don't test with TLTP activities, what is a real threat applying to you and not the classic rules, the classic things, remember the word resilience. So we need to work all on the what is mutating, what is changing, and we need to be prepared for the change when will happen, for the variation of the attack when will happen. And this you can do only with TLPT activities, the team activities. Obviously, TLPT includes threat intelligence, as we say. So it will be more focused, will be more studied, the attack that we are going to do. And this help you. This help you. This is the main, example I can say for the on the logging and detection, because it's we have everything, it's under control. I go to do my summer holidays and then I think everything is good. No, because you need to understand what is mutating, what is the reaction of your CM or your blue team on the alerting, or if you have all the server sending the logs to your log collector in a proper way if they cannot be tampered. And there is a lot of things, you know, there. But in generic say, you know, what you need to also help to understand what is a critical asset, my suggestion is try to do an exercise, try to understand what is the impact, you know, on this asset, and it, based on availability, confidentiality, and integrity. So try to identify, you know, at the end of this workshop, try to run in your agenda and write on your agenda critical assets and say, okay, what is my critical assets on the business? Are they protected? But the first exercise and the first thing that will make you in trouble is to identify, to understand what is critical for me here. And I bet a lot of you, at least 50%, will not know what it is a critical asset in your company. And with this exercise, you will understand what it is. Brian, please, next slide. And probably last. On this, I said let's dive into technical, no? So this is also some technical part. Although we don't have too much time to go in all of this, I believe it is important to understand what are the tactics and techniques, you know, that are more used in DORA, but in Tiberio, in all the TTPs, sorry, in all TLPT activities. So basically, as I said, phishing, it's a classic, you know, it's like a carbonara in Rome or something typical, you know, in any other city or country. It's something, a classic. It will always work. It will always work anyway. And it goes, obviously, from an external attack, and we'll try to attack also public-facing applications, especially, as we said, online banking or financial institution or classic website where you can log in, and you may have the chance to escalate your privilege and do something from there, and then go to the back office, and then to the servers, and so on and so forth. But let's focus on also something, you know, different from the pen testing, because some attacks on some points here may be, you know, similar, like the privilege escalation. But talk about persistence. The another difference between the pen testing and the TLPT, it's the persistence. Because when you get hacked by a pen tester, an hacker, that, you know, is not really, let's say, an ATP, you know, so a person that, you know, is probably doing this for fun or doing this to make some money or, you know, for the glory to show the other pen tester, the other hackers. He will hack you, then steal something, finish. But why we want to simulate real attack scenarios? Because during real attack scenarios, the attacker will be still there and he will probably will not notice. That's the difference and the also key for TLPT. And what is the you know, also part of exercise is to try to identify if there is persistence of the attack inside your network, inside your environment. And you can do, obviously, with CM, ADR, antivirus, NOC, SOC, everything that helps you to monitor and protect and prevent incidents or attacks. And although sometimes it's not possible, you know, to avoid the attack, because sometimes, although you can do your best, some hackers are very good, and you know, you can never be 100% safe from anything. You need to be able to identify where the persistence is and if your environment is clean to come back and be up and running. So this helps you to understand and to be more resilient for the future. The other part is data exfiltration, because yes, also the pen tester can do, but probably will do something small, something irrelevant, you know. But on real scenarios, and when you read on the paper, a lot of terabytes stole, exfiltrated, database exfiltrated. This is real attack scenario. So an attacker, probably the most, you know, if they don't want to do damage or put down a business, the other part is try to steal as much as possible to resell it or to use it as, you know, leaks, to sell it as leaks, you know, to other companies and try to do the best usage of it. So this is important, you know, to understand the difference. And I hope, you know, today, at least from the first question we ask you on the poll, it's now a little bit better, and I will say 100% at least now knows better what it is, TLPT. And I don't know, Brian, if you want to go to the next slide, we do a really quick key takeaway about everything we said. And so just to remember, PT is Article 23 for DORA, and it's required for all entities. Nobody's excluded. TLPT only for critical entities and once every 3 years. TLPT, differently from PT, it's a realistic adversary-based testing, so simulated real attack, phishing, fraud, lateral movement, privilege escalation, data exfiltration, etc., and involve threat intelligence that also is used to create the scenarios and also learn how to identify critical assets based on availability, confidentiality, integrity, and also try to understand what are your critical business dependencies. What happens if you don't do this? If you are into DORA, obviously a regulatory sanction for you, fines, and also possibly reputational damage. This may happen, yes, but I'm sure you are going to do everything possible to make it work. Thanks all for listening.
Thank you, Michael. Very good in-depth view of the implementation side of TLPT. So we have a few minutes left. Obviously, we have a lot of expertise in this area. So if you do need some support in your threat-led penetration testing, come talk to us or one of your providers, and we will help as best we can. Just to quickly summarize, as Michael said, this is a form of cybersecurity testing to assess resilience against advanced cyber threats of real threat actors using relevant threat intelligence to that entity. TiberEU is a European framework for TLPT inspired by CBEST and TiberNL, but now TLPT is a major requirement for critical entities under DORA. The latest version, TiberEU, is aligned to DORA, and although built for financial institutions, it's suitable for use by any organization. So we're going to run a quick second poll just to ask about a ask people about any kind of impediments they have to the challenges to implementing TLPT. So is it internal expertise, resource constraints, regulatory uncertainty, difficulty selecting a framework, or anything else? So if everyone can quickly answer that, and then we'll show that before the end in a few minutes' time. And as mentioned, we have some questions we're going to answer. We've got about 5 minutes left. Before we do that, just to let you know, just while people are thinking of and putting their questions into the Q&A, to let you know about two upcoming webinars. So we have a very interesting webinar on the 9th of July on Zero to Purview Hero, unlocking the full potential of Microsoft Data Governance and Protection Suite. That's coming up on the 9th. And then on the 10th, we've got Understanding Web Exposure, the Hidden Risk Behind Modern Web Breaches, and that's in conjunction with partner Reflectus. And both of these webinars can be accessed through the QR code. If you use that, then you can find the site where you can sign up for one or all of our upcoming events. With that, now we will go to the Q&A, and we've got time for a couple of quick questions. So I'm just going to pull up the questions here. So first question is, Michael, are TLPT requirements game changing or just a costly check box exercise.
I believe that are more game-changing, as I explained. I believe, probably pentesting is more checkbox exercise, if we need to identify something like that. But TLPT, obviously, as I said, help you, also after you do a TLPT activity, you will have, a continuous improvements, a big impact on the team and in the company too.
Great. I have a question here that a risk department, as a risk department, we're small. How is it best to set up a control team while some members within the same team need to be split to be part of the blue team as part of the security team because of the secrecy of the assignment? Do we have any experience around this type of setup dealing with a small risk department trying to divide up their team to meet the requirements?
So, if I get the question, is like the team's so small, but in the same you have some monitoring team and IT team on the security, and you're asking what is the best way to split it? I mean, when the team is small, probably it's not the I would say not the best way to best idea to split it, in my opinion and in my experience, because I believe if you have two, three people, 4 people. Or I imagine it's more like this, the best thing you can do is that everyone can act on both, or if you want to identify who is more, IT and more on the security, you can try to identify, the people and prepare a proper training for both. But splitting probably it's not the best when it's too small. So probably the key here is to train all of them to be IT security in the IT security, also in the blue team, and do some exercise that help everyone to be helpful, and protecting with the same objective the environment and the
Yeah,
company.
I think also I think what the questioner is getting at is that the risk teams, so they're the ones who have to make sure TLPT is done, has to maybe have it scheduled, you possibly using third parties, but also the blue team have to be, are in part of that same small team, but that blue team are not are to be unaware of the testing if they're not warned in advance, if you know what I mean.
I will say in this case, except probably the manager, the CISO, the leader, the other should be part of the exercise. Otherwise, it's not, a good exercise if they are not included, if they are aware. But in cases like this, if you are not, under DORA and you're not forced to do a TLPT, my suggestion is more to have a purple team, to focus on purple teaming, because
Yeah.
if you cannot hide it, it's better to go, for it.
Yeah. A question here. A small financial group have to comply with DORA, but their internal auditors only requested a yearly pen test and not a TLPT test. Does that mean they're not compliant, or are they not required to have a TLPT?
As I said, if NCA didn't contact you are the best, until now, probably you don't need to do TLPT testing, although it's highly suggested, and you should comply with the Article 23 that we discuss here. So penetration testing, vulnerability scan, segmentation, and everything, or at least adopt a good cybersecurity framework for pen testing and do
Yeah.
governance, because also DORA include and say you need to do fix the vulnerabilities and have a cycle.
Yeah, so basically the critical entities are the ones that require TLPT. And also there are allowances for smaller organizations within the regulation that aren't as onerous as for larger organizations. So it's not necessarily the case that everybody has to do the full TLPT. But as Michael said, strongly recommended that you have threat-led penetration testing of some type, which is why we covered general purpose TLPT as a very, very recommended, as well as doing it for regulation purposes. Okay, so I think we're kind of up on time. There was a couple more questions that we didn't get to, so we will follow up with that. We have recorded the session, so it will be available live on the website shortly for anybody who missed it or wants to view it again in more detail. So with that, thanks everyone for attending, and I wish you all a great afternoon.
Thank you. Bye all.